Today is Saturday, March 13th. The Grammys are this Sunday, so today I'm talking with two-time Grammy winner Fantastic Negrito. This year he's nominated for a third Grammy. His latest album, Have You Lost Your Mind Yet, is up for Best Contemporary Blues Album. Today we're talking about what it was like to go from a childhood where it was easier to access a gun than a piano to a million-dollar record deal. He also shares how he felt winning his first Grammy and why even now he can't stand putting those trophies on his shelf. Fantastic Negrito first burst onto the national radar in 2015 thanks to the NPR Tiny Desk contest, and now he's working on not just a fourth album, but also a new record label. Here's my conversation with Fantastic Negrito. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes when we provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes. It's fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. It's time for today's Special Edition Saturday. You ready? Let's do this. Fantastic Negrito, thank you so much for joining us here on the Newsworthy.
Thank you for having me.
So you already have two Grammys. You're nominated for another one this year. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You've won many other awards and obviously create great music. But before we talk about all of that, and I do want to get to that, let's first talk about what led you to this point of success, because you've been open about it, that you've been through a lot. Foster care, getting involved in crime like robbery as a kid. So first, take us back to what your childhood was like and how that influences your music today.
Believe me, my childhood was like millions of other kids, like, you know, traumatic and challenging and filled with obstacles. But I often think to myself, you know what? Those are usually the great artists. Those are usually the people that have something to say. And quite frankly, those are the people that I want on my team, people that have been through something and survived it. Because we all know in life, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And, trials, tribulations, troubles, and hardships can come at any time. And I think the key is, how are we equipped to have the tools to deal with these challenges?
Is there a moment that comes to mind that really stands out to you as kind of representing all that you went through early on in life?
I think just the deaths. I think the deaths are moments of people losing people at a young age, you know, being in your teens and losing peers to gun violence. And, you know, it became normal, like where other kids were, you know, going to the Chuck E. Cheese or something or whatever it was back then. You know, you would hear about your peers being gunned down, murdered. That was very impactful to me as a youngster. And I look at those are moments that defined my life. It's like growing up kind of in a war zone.
How did you get away from that eventually? I know that you're pretty much self-taught. You even pretended to be a college student in order to get access to pianos to practice on.
I did.
So tell us about your journey to that point and what that was like.
Well, I knew that the path in the streets was not going to be a very sustainable one, and I wanted to do something fun, and I thought learning to play music would be a good one. It just came from old-fashioned hustling. I mean, when you grow up in that environment, you learn how to make things happen. And you learn how to circumvent and overcome obstacles. And so I thought, well, I know how to go pretend that I'm someone I'm not. So I presented it to the university practice rooms, and that's how I gained access. But I think to the pianos. But isn't it interesting? Wow, kids looking for instruments. I think it's an indictment of where we were or are as a society, where we don't let any child have access to instruments. I mean, I could have gotten a gun easier than I could have gotten access to that piano.
Wow.
Yeah, 100%. Or drugs or PCP or angel dust or whatever, crack or whatever was, you could get that easy. But a piano, that was going to take some hustling skills. So, you know, you have to attribute the whole idea of survival and hustling to getting to that piano. I knew that that piano represented something, let's just say, that was fun. I remember talking with Quincy Jones a couple of years ago, and I loved his story about, like, how he was telling me of how he encountered his first piano, he was breaking into a place with a bunch of street kids. And I was like, wow, I can relate to that. But that, once he saw that piano in that scenario, he just, you know, he walked up, touched the keys, and it felt like magic.
And I know you're helping to make things happen for others. Tell us a little bit about how you are trying to make that change.
I kind of took my grandmother's advice. It's like, stop asking people for permission to, you know, have your voice heard, have your art heard. And I think that we put the collective together to make things happen. Like, how could we raise funds to, you know, give us access to write your own screenplays, put out your own records? And I mean, no one would have ever given Fantastic Negrito a chance at all, you know, and we've made some things happen. The guy I started it with, I mean, he just wrote and produced the latest Marvel series. So, I mean, we've come a long way.
I want to talk a little bit more about that. You've won 2 Grammys so far. You're nominated for a 3rd this year. Take us to that moment of hearing when you won for the very first time.
Let's not give it up only for the street people, but let's also give it up for the Recording Academy, because it's shocking to be recognized by them. Oh, the debt of gratitude to them, and just the fact that they were able to recognize what I was doing, which is, you know, as I read, you know, it's genre bending. It's not just staying within the safe confines of what people are comfortable with. I'm surprised and pleased that it's even recognized, and shocked a little bit. The second time was in more disbelief, and I think, I guess it keeps being more unbelievable. But you don't know. You just got to, you know, you can never think about that. I have to honestly say I've never thought about the Grammys when I'm making a record, when I'm creating. And that's why I love living in Oakland, California, where it's a small town. And you just make the record that you love, and that's what it's all about. You know, you can't think of accolades or awards. And if you get them, hey, that's great. Get them, wrap them up very nicely, and put them away. The first time I tried to put it on the shelf, I was like, wow, this is so strange. And I would you know, I'd start playing the piano, and my eyes would drift towards this Grammy. I'm like, wow, are these Grammy chords? It got really weird. So I decided, you know what? I love it, but I'm going to put it away till I'm 80. And I just put it away. And it's just, there's a beauty of just really walking toward the light of authenticity and really pushing barriers and really living in the realm of being an artist, like my dream since I was a teenager. And that, I love that. And that's sacred to me.
Still ahead, we talk about the influence of social media on his latest album and why the album feels especially timely during a pandemic. He also shares more about what's next for him and even gives us a mini performance. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by America's leading beverage companies, who are working together to reduce plastic waste in our environment. Not all plastic is the same. America's beverage companies are carefully designing 100% recyclable plastic bottles, including the caps. Their bottles are made to be remade, and they're investing in community recycling programs to help get more bottles back so they can be turned into material used to make new bottles. That completes the circle and reduces plastic waste. Please help get every bottle back. Learn more at everybottleback.org. Again, that's everybottleback.org. This episode is also brought to you by Blue Blocks. Blue Blocks provide science-backed, fashionable blue light glasses. It'll help you beat digital eye strain, headaches, and improve sleep with style and comfort. In fact, Blue Blocks was first created because they were unhappy with the quality and lack of science behind leading blue light blocking glasses brands. I've already been a big fan of my clear prescription glasses having blue light filtering for everyday computer use. But get this, the Blue Blocks collection extends way beyond that. For example, I've been trying their Sleep Plus option, the only true 100% blue and green light blocking lens for after sunset use. I use them when I need to work on my computer or be on my smartphone immediately before bed, which happens a lot. I also love that this is a company that gives back. For every pair of Blue Blocks glasses sold, the company donates a pair of reading glasses to someone in need. So read more about the options and styles and get 20% off your order at blueblocks.com/newsworthy. That's blue, B-L-U, blocks, B-L-O-X, blueblocks.com/newsworthy to learn more and get 20% off your order. Okay, now back to my conversation with Fantastic Negrito. So what do you want people to know about your latest Grammy-nominated album, Have You Lost Your Mind Yet? What inspired this? What do you want people to know?
You know, that when I created this album, it was, wow, how timely is this album, too? I guess, as I'm looking out into a hotel window, I'm in quarantine. I'm like, have you lost your mind yet? Exactly that. I was really writing about about mental health, and not the kind of mental health where people are walking down the street talking to themselves, but just how are we dealing, with this age of information, this age of kind of celebrity worship, and how many likes and followers do you have that kind of determines the quality of one's existence is what they tell us. And how do we deal with this thing every day that we look at, this phone, like that we've seemingly are enslaved to? That's what I was writing about on Have You Lost Your Mind Yet? And I just want to let people know, if you have lost your mind, you're not alone, and it's okay.
Absolutely. So many people can relate to that, especially right now. So what is next for you? What are you working on?
You know, writing and hoping to start producing and a record, I would say, in the next month, like a brand new record. And I think there was a lot to write about. And I'm launching a new record label called Storefront Records. And that's exciting to me. I always wanted to do that, you know, work with other artists and do collaborations and maybe help shine, you know, be the light that was shined upon me, like shining upon others that may feel marginalized and unique and different. Really look forward to that.
I would love it if you'd be willing to just sing a line or two for us as a way to kind of end this interview.
Have you lost your mind? Yes. Get free tonight.
It's your mind.
All right, thank you, Fantastic Negrito, and good luck at the Grammys this weekend. If you want to learn more about Fantastic Negrito or listen to more of his music, we've linked to all of that in our episode notes on thenewsworthy.com. The 63rd Grammy Awards air this Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, join us again right here next week to listen to our regular episodes. We provide all the day's news in just 10 minutes every Monday through Friday. Until then, have a great weekend.